Interview of Bird Perry by Leslie Perry. Could you start out by describing the general atmosphere of the area of Salt Lake and the people?
Well, I guess the time frame that you would want me to talk about would be when I was growing up. Of course, I was born in 1945. Grew up in probably what most people look back on now as the best years that you could be, the 1950s and early 60s, before the Vietnam War, during the Korean War, and of course I was born after, at the end of the World War II. Salt Lake was a fairly, even at that time, thriving community with several stores, hardware and service stations, and most of the people at that time worked in the lumber industry and Greer Lumber Company, the Old West Pallet Mill, log woods, that sort of thing. Most everyone worked. Majority of people really probably didn't have a whole lot, but most anyone you talked to from that period of time to this period of time would say that one thing was for sure, that the majority of people did work either on farms or in the lumber industry. That's quite a change from today. You have a certain group of people that today that work, and then a high percentage of those that don't do anything, and they're taken care of by the government. But we didn't have that in the 50s. But Salt Lake was a great place to grow up in those days. You could ride a bicycle all over town, anywhere you want to go, and in and out of every house, and do things that you want to do, from fishing to hunting to whatever. And it was a whole atmosphere was different than it is now, and that goes back to a lot of things. TV being one of them. People sit on their porches, visited with each other. Sundays there was people always visiting after church. You don't get any of that anymore. Primarily, I think, due to television and the fact that people do have more transportation in cars and ways to get out of the town now. They're either at Walmart or Lexington or somewhere like that. So times have changed, but that's part of progress.
What about racism in the area?
Just what would be normal for any rural Kentucky area at that time. Salt Lake, in the years that I grew up, there was very few. Oh, there was a few minorities or black families that lived in the area, but most of those people were older and basically died out or moved away. There was one gentleman who everyone liked, and the name of Lightning Booth. And the biggest thing about Lightning was he always wore big high top rubber boots, winter, summer, it didn't make any difference. Man, it was always an amazing thing to me as a kid, and every other kid to see him, and he was a gentleman for sure, but he always had those big high-top rubber boots on, and I think he's even living today. I think the Lightning's still living. He was a fine fellow, but as far as racism, it was just typical of rural Kentucky.
Have you noticed any major changes that have occurred in the area, people or business-wise, whatever, since when you were growing up and today?
Well, there's actually, in the Salt Lake area, less business than there was when I was growing up. As I mentioned earlier, there was two major lumber companies, and different times operated by different people. Of course, the biggest one at that time, when I was growing up, was the Greer Lumber Company, located in Midland, where the mulch plant is now, or Adome, I think is the way they pronounce it. And then they employed several men and women. West Lumber Company, and then E.C. Holly ran the lumber company for a while. E.C. also built the motel, and at one time raised parakeets. He was willing to try anything. And Salt Lake had three or four used clothing stores when I was growing up, and it was a big business. A lot of people came from Menifee, Morgan, other parts of Bath, Round, Fleming, to shop in those stores and buy not only antiques that we find, but used clothing and that sort of thing. The EC and the Junior Johnson were primarily involved in that. And there was quite a few businesses still going at that time. But with the play out of the lumber industry and once that played out, the other thing started going with it. And in 1953, when they lost the high school, it appeared then that it's sort of slumped ever since then. But we feel like that we're awful close to being on the verge of starting to stop that decline and turn the corner, especially with the new sewer system and other projects that we're working on at this time.
I understand that there used to be a theater and a hospital in Salt Lake. Do you have any information on those?
Well, I can just give you a general. You know, Salt Lake was actually incorporated around 1884. There is some confusion on that. Some people think it was 1888. But Salt Lake at one time was actually called Vail. But primary reason Salt Lake got its name, which anyone studied history would figure out, was because of the salt springs that were in the area. Because of those springs, Salt Lake eventually became Salt Lake. When it was first incorporated, there was several businesses. Again, the lumber industry was the key to it all. Then there was oil was discovered in the area, in the Raglan oil fields. And at one time, the oil fields employed several hundred men. And the fact is that the John D. Rockefeller actually visited Salt Lake and the oil fields back in the 1800s. There was a lot of, there was a brickyard, the hospital was built in around 1902, I think, was operated by Dr. Robbins. After he died, the place was bought by my grandfather, T.H. Perry, and turned into a residence. Now, T.H. Perry was a businessman, farmer, and a businessman. And in 1920s, he started Salt Lake Roller Mills, which made Goban flour and had quite a business in that, and cornmeal and flour. He also operated a theater. I'm not sure who started the theater originally, but he operated the theater. I've forgotten offhand what the name of it was at the time, but it did. It was an indoor theater and sort of like the Majestic in Olney, which is no longer there. There was several businesses in town. There was certain lots and streets laid off in subdivisions at the time. There was a drugstore. There was a mill that operated like near where the underpass is now on Licking River that made at one time about roughly one-fourth of the hardwood. I forgot what they call the thin sheeting that was used in houses at that time. It wasn't like plywood now. It was thin hardwood that you find in a lot of old houses, and they made roughly about one-fourth of what was made in the United States at one time. It employed over 500 people. In regards to the other parts of the county, Salt Lake was basically always a working man's area. It was more of a blue-collar area than in the Sharpsburg and Owensville area, where there was mostly large farms and big landholders. In the Salt Lake area, it was the workers in the oil field, workers in the lumber industry, and workers in the brickyards and stockyards that were in town. There was large stockyards right by the railroad, right behind what is now the old school. There was at one point at the turn of the century, Salt Lake was one of the largest towns between Lexington and Ashland. It was a booming town at that time. But with the oil, play out of the oil and play out of the lumber, everything died down. There was, at the turn of the century, a railroad that went from Salt Lake to Yale, and the Yale Lumber Company was located, which is now under Cave Run Lake, and it called the Little Dinky Railroad. And there was several hundred people employed there. The well, the area now has no resemblance to the way it was at the turn of the century and up into the 1920s and early 30s.
Do you have any general information on the underpass or the Cavern Dam that you'd like to share?
Not really. I have some pictures of when they built the underpass, and that was roughly 1936. It was probably built with probably WPA funds, and would be my guess at the time. Same way the Salt Lake School was built, and some schools known for WPA money. And after the Depression, what's ironic about the underpass, the question now, of when it was built, the underpass is being bypassed to the present time. We got funding last fall for a new bypass to go around the underpass due to several deaths and accidents there. It's something that's long overdue. So from being built in 1936, the underpass will be obsolete and out of commission by the end of this summer. Cave Run Dam, late 60s, was built. There was one episode that happened there, and I don't know the year that it did happen, but where the water, due to rains, and the water got up, and there was the danger of the dam breaking, and at that time it was on the fire department involved with City Council in Salt Lake, and the whole area from Midland, Salt Lake, all the way out to as far as ore mines had to be evacuated. Everybody had to leave town. Some of us stayed in town to protect the town from looters or anything like that, that nature, and the Red Cross and different groups were in town to feed those people who had to leave, and the people that were working. They worked day and night on the dam trying to keep it, push more dirt onto it to keep it from overflowing and breaking. And there was at one time it was a touch and go with the water reaching right to the top level of the dam. And luckily nothing happened, and no one ever really knew for sure. There was always a question, well, what would have happened with all that water had hit into the Salt Lake area and Farmers area and on down through Morrisbury and Fee Sticks, of what would have happened. And there's no doubt that there would have been a lot of damage, where there would have been any loss of life or anything at the time. We don't know, because the majority of people did leave the area. But that was a little excitement that was brought with the dam, and the dam has created some jobs. It hasn't done what we'd all hoped that it would do for the area as of yet, but with the opening of the new interchange on 801 and hopefully the new Salt Lake sewer system and a lodge, it could finally create the jobs and bring money into the county that we all thought it would in the beginning.
Could you tell us about the beginning of the Salt Lake Homecoming Festival?
Homecoming Festival, myself and Brad Frizzell actually started the festival, but prior to that, there was a Salt Lake reunion. The old Salt Lake High School had a reunion dinner, and I didn't go to Salt Lake High School. The high school was pulled out of Salt Lake in 1953. However, I went to the dinner, and a lady by the name of Edith, I think I'll get it right, Upperhart from Muncie, Indiana, had organized a reunion, class reunion. And I went to the class reunion, and while I was there, and most people enjoyed it, and we convinced them that they should open this class reunion up to all Salt Lake students, not just the ones that graduate from high school, because someday they'd be like the veterans of the Spanish-American War, there wouldn't be anybody left. And they agreed to do that. I was elected president that year. And when we were talking about something that to do that might help when people came to Salt Lake for the class reunion, that we should try to do something. Well, I went over and talked to the fire department, Bob Brazil and Johnson Razor and Calvin Armitage and Tom Burchett and all the different ones that were on there, and we started a small festival, which was a one-night affair, and first year we made $125, and it's turned into, and this will be the 15th year, into a festival that's on for about 3 days, and brings about 15,000 people to the area, and we operate on a budget of over $27,000 now, and it's been very successful. But the first one, we had no idea what would happen to it, and they still have the Salt Lake reunion dinner, which is a separate committee now. We changed the committee about 4 years into the festival and moved it into a separate entity, and they still have a reunion dinner on every homecoming, but it's a totally different thing than the festival itself.
Are there any natural disasters that you know of that affected the area?
Off the top of my head right now, I can't think of any real serious natural disasters other than a few forest fires and the earthquake that happened, but there was not any real serious damage then. Off the hand, I can't think of anything.
How do you feel about the education you received when you were growing up in the area, and how do you think it is compared to the education today?
Well, I'll get back to your other question. It might be another, if you're talking about a disaster, the Salt Lake area is always, up until recent years with the building of K-Run and the building of the watershed dams on Clear Creek, Salt Lake used to flood fairly consistently every year. There was always a severe floods, and a lot of people had to be evacuated, so you can consider that some natural disasters. Getting back to the other question now, the education, Salt Lake School was an excellent school to go to, with very well qualified teachers. You didn't have all the very few schools at that time that I went to grade school had the courses and the curriculum that they do now. We were more into the reading, writing, and arithmetic stage then, and personally, like most people my age, I would say that my education, although not as broad in some ways as those of the people, young kids today, was probably, I feel like, a better education. Too many times now, classroom time is wasted on items that you can learn when you get out of school that you don't need. Classes were smaller. We had I could get into a whole lot of things that may not very well go here, but I feel like as far as education, although we didn't have computers, we didn't have some of the classes that they offer now, we did have the basics, and the basics were well taught by teachers who were well trained.
Were there any discipline problems in the schools?
There were always that, but they handled it then with a big paddle, which you can't do now. When I was going to grade school, Lindsay Ellington was the principal, and he had a paddle, but he didn't need one. His hand was as big as a paddle, and anytime you needed discipline, that big paddle or that big hand was the one that was on your rear end, and that pretty well solved things. And we had some of that, and we even had that in high school. The problems with discipline probably are worse now, because when you went home in those days, if I got paddled at school, I got it again when I got home, and that doesn't happen anymore. The parents really don't care. So I think that's worse, and that's mainly because of my age group that are raising their kids today and won't do anything with them. They expect the teachers to do it, and they can't do it. And discipline, I think, is worse now.
For one last question, how do you think that the wars affected this particular area, such as Vietnam and the end of World War II? Have any serious effect?
In this area, there was no really big war industry, so there's no effect there, although there was some servicemen that lost their lives. In all the wars that there have been in this area, there have been a lot of volunteers from this area. As far as affecting anything in particular, I don't think there's really been any real direct, other than loss of lives and some people that were wounded and changed them personally and their families. There was some changes, but as far as like some areas of the country where plants sprung up overnight to provide the munitions and equipment for World War II and the Korean War and things like that. And then when the war stopped, that people lost jobs and that sort of thing didn't affect anything. The biggest thing was probably people left the area going to Michigan and Ohio and Indiana and different places like that to work. That's probably the thing that affected this area more than anything else. You couldn't find jobs in the late 50s and early 60s in this area, and until some of the plants came into Mount Sterling in mid-60s, from Hobart to A.O. Smith, a person that got out of high school from Owensville or Sharpsburg or any of the schools, unless you went on to college or went into farming or had a trade, you left the area because you couldn't find work. You had to go somewhere else. And there's not quite as much of that now as there once was.
This concludes the interview, and I'd like to thank Mr. Perry for giving his time and allowing himself to be interviewed.